Hello and welcome to the first in the second series of the KungFuology.com podcasts. The second coming, if you will. that's not an oral sex joke, by the way. My name is Jake Neeby, and with me, as always, is Andy Best.
Hello.
And it's been a little while since we did one of these. Andy, do you want to tell the good people where we've been?
Everyone likes to do things for the holidays, and I'm sure you're all aware of Jake's job or his general career area by now, if you're a regular listener of the pod or reader of the blog. So we thought to ourselves, we've had a few years in Shanghai between us, but like most expats, we don't really know the city. We live in a bit of a bubble. We've got a bit of superiority going on and we're not really trying to blend in. Luckily for us, a top, perhaps even the best English language magazine in Shanghai.
I'd say the best.
I think you would. Yeah, you would. Had a cover story, you know, telling us basically exactly what to do, the best things to do in Shanghai and how to really get in there. So we spent our time doing, you know, sort of eye-opening things we'd never done before. We went to Yuyuan Gardens. We ate in a Shanghainese restaurant. I had some dumplings. I wore a qipao the whole time. Jake wore pajamas. And, you know, we just really learned a lot about the city. So, you know, thank you very much. City Weekend. No, but really, I mean, this article was written by fellow music journalist. There is a link here. Lisa Movius. And, you know, she got a cover story to tell people an insider sort of what view of Shanghai. And she's famous for music. So it's always good for people to expand their horizons and, you know, write about something that they don't usually talk about.
Speaking of expanding horizons, you expanded your own horizons a little bit further than that as well, didn't you? You went the whole hog, as it were.
Yeah, well, people who know me know that I'm a passionate person. I get excited very easily. I don't do things by half. Now, okay, you can walk around Yuyuan, you can eat some dumplings, right? But I mean, where to start with this? I mean, I comment on a lot of blogs and I get a bit of stick from a certain section of the expat community, the real expats, the middle to upper management, people with money. More money than me, or money at all, living in their villas and stuff, right? And they don't seem too happy with people like us. And, you know, my goal was to, you know, understand them. Don't hate, love, you know, understand them and try to put yourself in their shoes. So this holiday, I decided to, you know, do the expat thing. I got on a plane. I went to Thailand and I went to Pattaya. And I tried to live the life. I had a good time, ended up having a very interesting conversation with one Gary Glitter in a jail cell. But that's another story. But I've come back changed in more ways than one. And, you know, I don't feel any anger towards these people. I mean, these sort of expats, because, you know, it's not easy living with shame and gonorrhea.
Good. On that bombshell. You may have noticed that was a slightly extended opening gag compared to our usual ones, and that sort of sets the tone for the rest of this podcast, as because it's been a long time and we shouldn't have left you, we are going with a 1 hour comeback special podcast, and it's going to feature two songs, you'll be pleased to know.
Wow.
Exactly. That's one every 30 minutes.
Which means you get to the song quicker than any usual podcast, and but you know, don't get too excited, Archie. Next week, we're right back to one song. I'm sorry.
Good stuff. So, what are we going to be talking about then? We're going to have a bit of a recap of what's been going on since we've been away. We're going to look back at the sort of the story that really stood out for us since our last podcast. We're going to take a look back at the gigs from last weekend, or at least the one gig that the two of us managed to get to over the last weekend.
Yep.
We're also going to talk a little bit about Hedgehog, one of our sort of favourite Chinese bands, who are going through a few changes at the minute and what's going on with them. And then we'll look forward to this weekend, as we always do, and a bit of a gig dilemma as well coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and our featured songs, the first track, you're going to be listening to a band we've had on the blog a bit recently, Forget and Forgive, an up-and-coming
Extremo
band, although these are a little bit more accessible than the other Screamo bands, and the song's very catchy. And
I just wanted to throw that word in, really. It's not,
yeah, no. Accurate. Well, I'm going to be talking about Double Control Wear soon, so it's going to be Extremo. We're going to be Extremoing all over you. So,
yikes.
And the second song we'll be featuring is a band from one of the upcoming gigs, Rustic, and their great track, Rock and Roll for Money and Sex.
Good.
I kid you not.
So first up then, we were sort of looking back at what's been going on since we did our last podcast at the end of last year. And one story really sort of stood out for us as being the thing that we should really probably highlight in this comeback special. And that was the story of Top Floor Circus being harmonised, thanks to the great and glorious Expo, which is coming up in a few months. So, I mean, a bit of background here. I mean, this goes back to Top Floor Circus have this song, originally called Shanghai Welcomes You, which is a rip-off of the Beijing 2008 Olympics anthem Beijing Welcomes You, with slightly more subversive and witty lyrics.
Slightly, yeah.
I mean, the original version was kind of, you know, it's not particularly menacing. It's quite a kind of jokey, sort of affectionately jokey song about Shanghainese people, right?
Yeah, and we saw this, well, I can't remember if you were there, Jake, actually, right now, but I saw this debuted at a show right back when, called Haibao versus the Fuwa.
Right, and Momo were the Fuwa, right?
They played the Fuwa. Anyway, yeah. But moving on, they've got this song, it's picking up traction, and then one day they play it at Mao and it gets videoed.
So this was the Ling Ling Josan CD release, in fact, I believe. And they played a sort of special angry version of a song called, you know, Shanghai Doesn't Welcome You, with changed lyrics, and it was a lot more... I mean, the original version was pretty, you know, obviously subversive, but this was a lot more direct and angry in its criticism. It got videoed, and despite there not really being many people at the gig, the video went huge. I mean, it tapped into a kind of rising anti-Expo sentiment, I think, in the city as well at the time.
Yeah, this is the important thing to understand about this. The background is that if you look at sort of Shanghai-based popular forums, the biggest one called KDS, it's just awash with people who are fuming about the negative sides of the Expo, which has been a city under massive construction and chaos, with absolutely no forced relocations, people getting no compensation money or payouts, not being heard. The whole thing's like a greenwash. The better city, better life.
The rising housing prices
have been, you know, several public protests about it, and people are really, really angry. Then the video came out on Youku, and it started suddenly like flying up the views and the ratings.
Right, so it became this huge hit, and it, like I say, it really sort of tapped into a lot of this anti-sentiment and anti-Expo sentiment, and, you know, it became a bit of a sort of anti-Expo anthem. And, of course, this eventually showed up on the radar of the powers that be, who, obviously, the first step was to remove it from Youku. Then the song was removed from Douban, or, well... Top Floor Circus were called in for a friendly chat, right?
Yeah, a cup of tea, it's called. Being called in for a cup of tea.
Exactly. And assurances were sought that this song would, well, never be heard from again. And that, of course, all traces of it would be wiped from everyone's memory, basically, wiped from history.
And then Mao had a big Christmas party, which Top Floor Circus were going to headline, and they were told not to play the song there. But since some issues and these cup of tea meetings were ongoing, finally, the show was cancelled. And then there was the T-shirts, right?
Right. So there's T-shirts which sort of go with the song, which in English say Shanghai welcomes you, but in Chinese say Shanghai buhuaning ni, Shanghai doesn't welcome you. This was brought out. They brought out a range of T-shirts a few months, sort of at the end of the summer, really. Hmm. And this was one of them. And now this T-shirt has disappeared from Taobao, and it's disappeared from the Douban site. And in fact, the authorities have been over and, well, they haven't exactly confiscated them, have they?
No, that's the interesting thing. So that's basically what happened. The band were critical of the Expo, but on the underground, but then the song broke through on video and started to be, you know, taken on board in this rising tide, and the government have come down, censored them and banned them, basically. The T-shirts is an interesting story. The drummer of the band actually still has them all in the box in his office, because the people who come and visit you to check the merchandise and the people who take it away and destroy it are from different departments. So it's been checked and counted to make sure he doesn't sell any in the meantime. But literally, how long, like 2 months later or months later, they haven't been round, because that's how, you know, organised they are. So they're still sitting there in a box, but they've been you know, counted, and they're not allowed to go. To go missing. But I mean, this is a clear-cut story. This is not trying to overthrow the government. It's not like massively anti-China. This is a rock band or a punk band, you know, saying that they think the expo is, you know, is more negative than positive. I mean, in the song they mention 093 being relocated because it's near the site, rents up, the landlord can't afford it, wants to, you know, split it up into small businesses. They talk about a number of things, but I mean, you know, this is very mild social criticism. Yeah, almost nothing. It's not controversial, and but they've been cracked down on by the police. It's actually a huge, huge story with big potential repercussions, combined with the fact that Super Sophia, Sophia Wong from Yuyantang, has confirmed in recent interviews that unless they hear different, they're going to have to shut down for all the expo, which is at least 4 months. This is huge news. It's a terrible story. It's sort of, you know, censorship and sort of oppression run rampant. But even more surprising than the story itself is the utter lack of reaction from the kind of people in our community, in the expat community or the English language community, who are always blabbing on about freedoms and arts, how much they love local music, how much they are into open society. And despite us really pushing this story and despite it being well known, they've almost all, a couple have given small little lip, paid a little bit of lip service to it, but no one's really, you know, come out for this.
Well, there was one English language blog that featured the expo and the sort of music scene, wasn't there? Shanghaiist had a post. They had a sort of whole bunch of end of the year, end of decade sort of posts, and one of them was featuring the expo and its impact on live music in Shanghai.
That's right. So Adam Minter, who, to be fair, has a very, very respected blog, Shanghai Scrap. He's a great writer, respected journalist. He came out and laid it down with his five or six, I forget. Is it six, five? I'm going to say five, sorry if it's wrong. Five reasons why the expo is great for this city. And he mentioned the music situation. He said, all you hipsters should just stop whining. My hipster friends are going to have to shut up because of the great selection of international acts that are undoubtedly going to come in for the expo and play in the pavilions, which, by the way, only costs, you know, 900 renminbi for a week pass to get around them. And this includes, he mentioned, some amazing cutting-edge sort of like national folk acts from, he mentioned, Japan and Israel. Because, you know, I mean, when your entire creative music scene and outlet for young people, which is gaining worldwide fame despite being underground, is going to be completely shut down to 4 to 5 months, potentially crashing all the venues financially, knocking the scene back 10 years and going out with bands like Top Floor Circus and sort of totalitarian style censoring them. Seeing a couple of folk bands in an expo pavilion is going to, you know, is going to just totally make up for it. Nail on the head, hammer on the nail.
There you go.
That's what I've got to say about it anyway. Anyway, it was a huge story. So
it was a huge story. So I mean, and when does the expo start? Is it May the 1st, isn't it? You're not counting down the days.
I'm not. See, the thing is, you know, I bought this apartment specifically with that window view of the countdown clock in mind. But you know, it just gets too much now.
I should point out, by the way, we're broadcasting this from a room in Andy's flat, which is just filled with high bows and expo memorabilia. All this anti-expo stuff is nonsense.
Yeah, it's nonsense. I'm just loving it, and I'm especially looking forward to, like, you know, paying a couple of hundred renminbi to visit the Coca-Cola Pavilion, because I mean, you know, what I really want to see in a World Expo show, you know, you only get one chance. You can find out, you know, exactly how, you know, Coke is made and what color the tins are and stuff. It's going to be just fucking great.
I think my favorite one is the oil pavilion, which I think, if anything, you know, just epitomises better city, better life, and you know, the move towards a green future, is there's the pavilion for the oil industry.
The oil industry, yeah. Who are going to save us all. Now, of course, if there's no podcast next week, you know, we might be broadcasting from jail now. But
harmonised.
Now we've got that out of our system. But yeah, that was definitely the story. And, you know, to be fair, a lot of writers who write for print magazines, for example, you know, just simply can't get words in because they go through Xinhua, they're censored. And a lot of blogs, you know, have had experiences with threats of or being Great Firewall before. So who knows what the reasons are. But, I mean, you know, this was the one. This was huge. And, you know, I hope people are paying attention. It shouldn't be the elephant in the room anymore. It's started. It's already started.
Yeah. All right, so Let's take a look at what we got up to last weekend. So this is where were we?
Yeah, where were we last Saturday, Jake? Good jive, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it Saturday? Friday? Was it Friday?
You see, this is what happens when you've been away for a while. You get so rusty that you even bollocks up the joke about if it was Friday or Saturday. So, yeah, Jake, where were we on Friday night?
On Friday night, I believe we were at Good Jive. So this is a night which has been started, an organisation started by Han Han. I think he's the sole member of said organisation at the moment. And his whole idea is that basically there's too many sort of pop bands in Shanghai, too many bands with a pop sound, and he wants to promote something a bit more interesting and a bit different.
Which is kind of funny because actually he runs the only label who actually puts CDs out, and his CDs dominate the fledgling Shanghai CD scene, and they're all experimental.
They're all experimental and alternative.
Anyway, CDs. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. This one's yours. I'll do the Saturday night. What bands are playing? Sorry.
So this was we kicked off with the Rainbow Danger Club. And they were followed by Boys Climbing Ropes, who were then followed by Attractive Routine. And the night was rounded off by Duck Fight Goose.
Okay, and we were both there, but this...
Rainbow Danger Club kicked things off, and I thought they were good, actually. I quite enjoyed them. They were, you know, had a good sort of tight sound, I thought, and they played a good set.
Yeah, so the singer, Jesse, is used to have a band called The Living Thin, who I saw once, actually, when they played at Shuffle. For a gig Brad put on there, and but back then they were like a typical sort of melodic indie band. But now he spent some time away, and they've obviously been practicing a bit, and now they've got this very multi-layered, well-crafted. It's not like it's kind of like indie meets post rock. It's not post rock in the kind of whole. Hasn't got the same sound as most of the kind of instrumental stuff here. It's, they had a trumpet in the lineup. They have a bass player who. Who goes into kind of a lot more sort of virtuoso playing and slapping and a lot of sort of stuff on stage, like a big floor drum in front of Jesse. They've got the samples and the keyboard there. They're quite busy doing the music, but the crowd really, really, really liked it, I thought.
Yeah, I thought they were really good. So, you know, definitely band to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, instrumental fans.
Next up were Boys Climbing Ropes. You know, obviously... regular listeners and regular readers will know of our love for Boys Climbing Ropes. And, you know, they were excellent. They were on top form. And just really, really looking forward to the new album coming out, which is there'll be album release party at Yuen Tang on the 30th.
Yeah, and this is why I was a little disappointed, to be honest, because I'm really digging the new songs. I used the word dig there, sorry. I really like the new songs. doesn't go well with my accent. I love the songs. The CD's almost out, and you know what I wanted to see after seeing them at Mao? I like to see Boys Climbing Ropes now headlining and playing many songs and you know, getting into their set and ending on a bang. But they are really, like, good people, so knowingly being part of a four-band lineup, they kind of kept it short, didn't make it too much about themselves, but that's bad
for
me.
Well, I guess there's going to be a chance for that, though, isn't there? Like, in, you know, it's 2 weeks away now from there. From their sort of album launch thing, so I guess they were probably thinking that as well. In some ways, they don't want to go all out, you know, 2 weeks before their big night, as it were. Yeah. Sort of
but that's going to be one to go to for sure.
Oh, definitely. After them were Attractive Routine,
who I'd never seen before,
and I'd never seen or heard of before. It was interesting. Like again, remember that the night is supposed to be sort of interesting, alternative kind of music, and I think we can say Attractive Routine probably. Fitted into those categories. This was like one girl on the mic, which had we kept feedbacking. I'm not sure if that was really intentional or not. I wasn't sure. The sound guys at the back seemed to be unsure as well. And one guy in a suit and gimp mask, sort of flicking switches and twiddling knobs and stuff.
I'm a big fan of the gimp mask. You know, in personal and private life.
Thanks for sharing. you know, they weren't, you know, perhaps as bad as that sound, but I think it was a bit of an odd sandwich having them sort of on after, you know, yeah. After Rainbow Danger Club and after Boys Climbing Ropes, and people sort of drifted away a bit, which was a bit of a shame.
Yeah. And we didn't really comment on them on either of our blogs much because the first time, you know, we haven't really heard any of the material on demos or seen them more than once. So it's, you know, it's probably fair to give them a bit more of a a run out first.
Right. But after that was Duck Fight Goose.
Okay.
And Duck Fight Goose are a band who we have seen quite a lot of, and who I can't really get enough of, to be honest. I'm just a massive fan of Duck Fight Goose. I think they're a fantastic band, and they always give a great gig, and, you know, they just, yeah, I can't speak highly enough about them, frankly.
Well, again, we always go on about this, but there's probably always people listening or reading who haven't come across it. They are a sort of, we say, the Miniless supergroup. Miniless Records are the Shanghai-based experimental label, responsible for CDs like Lava Oxy's Lord Smart versus Dr. Jin, best CD of 2009, we think, and other acts like Fading Horizon, amongst others. And this features San San from Bougie on the bass. It features Han Han on guitar, who's the head honcho of the label, and the sort of the soul and the spirit and the power behind it all. And also Darman on drums, of Bougie and once of Hard Queen, or still of Hard Queen if they decide to
hopefully
play another show. And they play this kind of like a mix. Sounds almost like sort of early psychedelic Pink Floyd, Rush sort of classic riffs on top of some modern swells and a lot of like loops and effects that kind of gradually build. So it's like post-rock with emphasis on the rock, and you know, and therefore their gigs have a lot more sort of danceability or energy than a lot of the instrumental stuff. And they're definitely going to come through and be the sort of leading band of this genre in Shanghai.
Definitely.
Right. So then, I think we've
talked enough.
No, we haven't actually.
Right?
We can never, because on Saturday night, I did in fact make it to another show, and it was a pleasant surprise. As if you've read the blog post, you'll know this was billed as an 0093 night, which are now Rock Shanghai, the website sponsored nights. They're not called 0093 showcases anymore. The two organisations are kind of working together. And it was advertised as kind of like five or six bands, probably going to add two more to make it seven, going on all night, some brand new, some newer, one of these typical nights.
So a classic Ling Ling Zhou San night, right?
Exactly. And I'm normally well up for them. And the first year they were doing them, I went to almost every single one, I went to between numbers like 3 and 12 without missing a beat. And we wrote them all up, and I really like them. Now, we got there at 9. No, that's a complete lie. I got there at 10, sorry.
Well, because the Good Jive night...
Yeah, this is where I'm
that didn't
confused.
Start until 10. What, 10 o'clock, right?
And it went on until the morning.
Yeah, it went on pretty late. I mean, until the time I couldn't see the clock anymore.
Yeah, so basically what happened was is Jiang Haishan and Tian Tian of 093 got their heads together and said, come on, we've got to make this one a bit more tight. So they went definitely 9 to 11. So when I actually came in about 9:45... missed a couple of bands, but it had been pared down to four bands. So I came in and basically got an hour and a half gig of Double Control Wear and Second.
Which is not a bad deal.
Which was great. Yeah. So it ended up being like a kind of a good band, two-band gig, you know, of good bands. And I've been raving a lot about Double Control Wear on the blog. They're excellent, excellent demos on Douban. Some Just Want Everything and Say Goodbye. And these are... let's use the word extremo. Yes. The main content is really screaming, really thrashy hardcore music, with some catchy choruses and bits and pieces. And the only thing that was missing from them, they have the image. The singer, whose nickname is Naka Naka, like Jung Jung in Chinese, is a big imposing guy. He's got the emo haircut. He's got the screaming down. You know, he can front the band. The demos are excellent. The songs are obviously there. All they needed now is to get the live show together. And I walked in, they just started the first song, and there was the live show, you know, and they were great, but it wasn't really packed, so nothing really kicked off. But, you know, they're almost there now. They're 90% there. And then I saw Second, who are the all-girl, sort of like, I don't want to demean them, but the style's like J-rock, if you say that. I mean, it gives you an anchor point to go from, but I mean, that's not to take away from them. They're still a Chinese band who are very influenced by the Chinese scene. They're not, what I mean is they're not just a pure copy.
No,
derivative band, right? I mean, they live the band lifestyle as well.
They hang
out with each other all the time. They live as a band and they rehearse all the time.
For now.
For now, yeah. Because, and anyway, they started off a little bit sort of lacking in confidence. But tonight, Saturday night, they really built up. And the last two songs was the first time I heard them where it was really tight, dead on, to the point where everyone in the audience were like turning their heads and saying, oh, this is good. So there was two bands who kind of are just crossing that threshold. So we've got two more bands who will start to become a great, great live acts right now.
Well, you'd hope so, because, but the problem is Second. Do you want to talk just briefly about this? What's the story with Second?
So, yeah, so I was on the Doban Union Ten group, and well, it's funny because we talked a bit before about Bang Bang Tang being away and Xiao Bai, and she'd mentioned this, right? So basically the guitarist, the lead guitarist, whose English sort of stage name is Eleven, they made a post on the Doban group, Union Ten Doban group, advertising for a new guitarist. And the reason they gave was that Eleven, who's, by the way, no older than like 22, 23...
Young,
as far as I think, is getting married and supposedly therefore is completely quitting music.
Yeah. Well, marriage and rock are mutually exclusive, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I should know. So of course actually Evans, my wife, first, and then me, couldn't help ourselves but to put a comment on. While everyone else is putting tentative Gongxinese on there, we're like, why do you have to stop the band if you're getting married? Yeah, what the fuck, you know? Yeah, what kind of, we're in Shanghai, the most open and progressive city here. And, of course, there's conservative people everywhere, but I mean, you're both young people and that, right? Why do you have to stop being in the band if you get married? What, you're going to like, you know, I don't know, move into your grandparents' house and you've got to become a sort of virtual slave. I don't know what's going on, but
maybe the man's been listening to Rustic. That's not, what was that song called again?
Rock and Roll for Money and Sex. Yeah,
right, there you go.
I hate saying the Chinese stuff on the podcast, the Chinese names, in case I cock up the pronunciation, but it's actually the Chinese name. Oh, and the translation's not ours, that's the actual English line that they repeat for the chorus of the song, as you'll hear. The Chinese name is Yao Gun Wei Le sorry laughing Jin Chen He Xiao Jie.
There you go.
So you heard it here first.
It's kind of lifestyle we lead here as well at the pod.
That is the pod lifestyle. If this was a vidcast, you'd see the scantily clad groupies draped all over and our entourage. You know, there's just drugs out all over the table. And
high bows everywhere.
Yeah, and high bows everywhere in the back, and fuwas. Yeah.
But having talked about Rustic and that song, let's play the other song, shall we?
Let's play the other one. Yeah, that's right. So this song, I'd give you a break from our droning voices, is Forget and Forgive, and their song, which translates as Parasite. Feel the season, Lord.
So that was Forget and Forgive, FAF, with the song Parasite. And now we're back for the second half.
Wait. Hello, are you bored yet? Are you killing yourselves? I hope you made yourself a cup of tea, because you can pause this. We're live, but you're not, yeah.
So we wanted to talk a bit about Hedgehog. Hedgehog being, it seems like a lot of people's favourite band, right? Or favourite Chinese band. They are probably one of the sort of first Chinese bands that I really started getting into, actually. But recently, things haven't been going so great within the band. And it's been announced in the last few weeks that the bassist has left the band. The other two members, Atom, who plays the drums and is a phenomenal drummer, and Z-O, is that how you pronounce it, or do you say it Zo? I don't know.
I've never heard the English name said out, actually. So Atom, yeah. And Zo being the kind of the main sort of songwriter too.
Right, and guitarist. They're going to carry on. At the same time, they've also formed a new project called B-Side Lovers. So they're going to carry on as Hedgehog, and they're looking for a new bassist.
There was confusion about it on Douban, but they clarified for Big Post and the addition of four Hedgehog demo tracks.
Right, for potentially a new Hedgehog album coming in later on this year, once they find a bassist. And then there's this other project called B-Side Lovers, which is Atom and Z-O, as we're now just going to call him, which is formed and has a sort of slightly different kind of sound to it. But regardless of sort of exactly what's going on and what's happened, it does seem like a bit of a kind of end of an era, I guess, for Hedgehog in a way.
I've got mixed feelings about it, because a couple of people who did blog it and a couple of posts on Douban are treating it like almost like Hedgehog have split up. Now, of course, Box, his English name, the Borschwein, right? The founder, it was kind of like a founding member who brought it together. He's supposed to be the organizer. And actually, as a bassist, I mean, they don't play a lot of slap-based jazz riffs or virtuoso stuff. But anyone who's seen them live knows that he's a real solid anchor to it. And some of the songs, like my favorite ever song by theirs off the third CD called Pseudomorph, is anchored by this kind of chugging, like bass line of the kind that he usually plays, and the kind of the pick style, and it does really drive the song. They're not just going to be able to let anyone walk in there, but they've got a new album, a new tour already planned. They just need the bassist, and the four demos are up, and they're quite good. Although Archie referred to them as Hedgehog Light, on China Music Radar. But I'll get into the three CDs in a minute. But I'm not sure it's the end. But I mean, these are a beloved band, so people are obviously a little bit worried about it,
right? But let's talk a bit about their sort of three CDs to date then.
It's funny, when Blue Daydreaming came out, everyone was saying their second CD in all the magazines, which was weird. So their first album, which is not available anymore, except online for free, is called Happy Idle Kid. That was their debut, and it was very much sort of, they see it as a combination between like Joy Division and Nirvana, funnily enough. They like the grunge sort of three-piece power trio sound, the grunge sound, but they also like the kind of the songwriting nuances from some of the other bands they quote. And they say Joy Division on the page, and but this was very much the kind of in the Nirvana mold, and the famous song off it was called Wink, also followed by Cool Bad Girl.
Yep,
probably getting that wrong because we've just come back of a holiday and my brain's addled. Anyway, Wink is the famous song. And they started playing gigs, and they started picking up and becoming a good live act. So they cemented that with their second CD called Noise Hit World, where they add in a little bit more dynamic space in the songs, and you start to see the sort of musical interaction that is Hedgehog coming out, right? So you've got these extra more musical parts, more open riff and dynamics. You've got the drummer doing the backing vocals, and the songs really sound like Hedgehog sounds. The songs really sound like Hedgehog songs. Oh my God. And then this CD exploded, and their gigs, their tour for the CD, both the Yuyintang, the early one in Logo, and all their Beijing gigs were huge, and they became the IT band.
Yeah.
And the comment to say was, wow, the drummer is so small, but doesn't she bang those drums? And, yeah. So please, let's have no more of that. We all know. And then off they went. And then, surprisingly, for a sort of a scene which is largely underground in that, and out popped the third CD, Blue Daydreaming, which was just absolutely unbelievable and topped the other two by Miles, which has a perfect combination of their live power and the grungy sound, and this kind of this amazing sort of like dynamic space they put into the songs and Zoe's hooks and Atom's drum lines. And it, and you know, for my money, the two songs, the title track Blue Daydreaming and the track Pseudomorph, are you know, pretty much the best things they'd ever written. And that's saying something, because I mean, there are some classic tracks on Noise Hit World. Everyone's favorite song, of course, being Toys and Children's Day. And and it's almost like a fully mature band's career over those three CDs, right? Yeah. And I've just been loving it. So, well, I mean, what do you think about those ones?
Well, like I say, I mean, the Hedgehog was sort of one of the first sort of Chinese bands that I really got into, I think, like, you know, really sort of properly followed from, I don't know, from their early sort of albums and so on. Yeah, I mean, like Happy Idle Kid and Noise Hit World, I think, you know, they're still great albums and I think they still stand up really well. But I think, like you say, it's just interesting sort of watching, well, or having seen how they've kind of progressed over that. And Blue Daydreaming was such a great record. And I mean, Noise Hit World sort of, I thought at the time, was actually a really solid album. I thought it was a great album. And I, like I say, I still do. But when you saw sort of Blue Daydreaming come out and you just realised the sort of step that had been made, you know, now to, if it is kind of an end of some form of Hedgehog, it seems a bit of a shame, really, that, you know, I mean, at least They've gone out on with a great album.
Yeah, they've peaked, yeah.
You know, but then, I mean, like you say, when I'm talking here as if they've sort of split up and they haven't, they're looking for a new bassist. They've put up some demos. And you know, the plan is for a new album to come soon. So, you know, we, you know, look forward to that, I suppose.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I wasn't at the Logo Show, but the Logo Show was legendary. But the people who said it was legendary were people who specifically always talk up Logo Shows, and you know, I don't like the place at all. But the first time I saw them was at Yuyinteng, as part of their Noise Hit World CD tour, and yeah, it was there'd been some shows that had gone off a bit, but that for me was, that show was like the beginning of the era of bands who'd kind of really broken through, like the Beijing bands or the Mushrooms, coming to Yuyinteng, and it was just absolutely rammed and it just went off, you know, and the classic Yuyinteng shows that they've had since I'm talking about the new Yuyinteng, you know, not the old Yuyinteng had some good shows too. I mean, I went to a couple of Banana Monkey $5 shake parties that were amazing, but not really kind of packed in like now. But anyway, the new Yuyinteng, I mean, that was the start of, the new Yuyinteng had arrived and there were just some great gigs going on there. I mean, another one a bit later on was Reflector, the recent Mushrooms gigs, anytime the Subs play, anywhere actually. Yeah, but Hedgehog were one of the first bands to come in to the new Yuyinteng and people knew who they were excited, they were dying to get to the gig, and from the first note of the first song, it was, you know, time to go off. And they, you know, they always have a special place in my hearts, but again, in my hearts, did I say?
In
each and every one of my hearts. And again, I'm talking now like they're split up and they're blatantly not. Anyway, so that's the news with Hedgehog. And now it's time for our previews and the first time we've hit this real problem.
Right, so speaking of Beijing bands, this weekend there are some top Beijing bands coming down. It's part of this this Maybe Mars showcase, which is going on at Mao Live House Shanghai. But the real problem is that this Maybe Mars showcase is going up against another great gig at Yuyinteng. So let's have a look at it all then. The Maybe Mars showcase is going to be headlined by PK14.
Yep.
There's going to be 24 Hours are going to be on there as well. We've got the Gar, who Dan Shapiro, I noticed, put a blog post up on City Weekend.
On City Weekend,
website, certainly. where he said something about, you know, the song Circle by the Guy. I think he said it was it contained the best hook of any Chinese song of the new millennium, or something to that effect, yeah. which is big talk.
It is big talk, but they are a good band, so carry on.
So that's the Gar, and we've also got Rustic are going to be there as well. Rustic being the winners of the China leg of the global battle of the bands.
Yeah, we'll say all of that. We'll talk about those a bit more in a moment, and especially I want to talk about the photo as well.
Right,
we'll get on to that in a minute. Yeah.
But the reason it's causing a dilemma is because over at Yu Yin Tang,
at the same time,
and these are both on Friday, incidentally. We've got the Mushrooms, and they are going to be supporting Zoyo, and Zoyo being Helen from Pet Conspiracy, Helen Fung's other band, as it were.
Yeah, and basically with those, I mean that's a famous, loved sort of Beijing headliner, and the Mushrooms who fill Yu Yin Tang every time. I mean that gig is going to be guaranteed to go off, right?
Right, but then at Mao you've got some of, you know, the cream of the crop of maybe Mars, which is, you know, effectively could equal the cream of the crop of China in Mao, and with all the great sound equipment and everything that brings. And so we shouldn't really complain, but I mean this is the first time in a long while really where there's been a real really tough choice.
Well, it's really a hard choice to make, and there's a couple of things happening on Saturday, Sunday too, but let's talk about these bands. We don't want to assume that everyone listening knows everything, so maybe Mars is the Beijing based label. Before them was Modern Sky, some small labels, but they were the first guys to come along, run a scene, like a mini scene around their club D22, find these bands like Carsick Cars, PK14 being the flagship acts really, and start to, you know, just get the CDs out, do the promotions. They've done a tour of the US recently and kind of like do all the things a label should do. That labels are having a sort of crisis about in the developed music scene countries, but here with the underground scene, that kind of traditional model still works to a certain extent, which you might find odd because it's all supposedly piracy and downloading here. But actually, the scene itself is this small community, right? And it needs a label to organize and bring it up, and they've been doing it. And this is the second time they're coming down. Last year, they were at Dream Factory as part of the Jue Festival, where we saw Carsick Cars, AV Ocubo, Ourself Beside Me, and Snapline. Hooray, I remembered it all first time off at the Dream Factory. This time round, it's an STD-organized gig at Mao. Sonically transmitted disease, by the way. There's no reference back to my opening story about expats. It's in Mao, yeah. And they're also apparently planning to do another one a month later with Carsick Cars, apparently. Yeah, but let's not get onto that. So, first of all, Rustic. So, we didn't really know much about Rustic. There's a lot of bands on the Beijing scene, you know, we don't know about. It's huge. And they got onto this Global Battle of the Bands competition, which was a bit of a sort of non-event in Shanghai. Not really, in both cities, not really marquee bands who were already on the go attending it. So Rustic were the only band who were sort of accomplished who entered that competition. They won Beijing, they won China in Hong Kong and Asia, and now they're going to go to London to compete in the finals. Now these are great. The bassist / founding member is called Ricky Six, after Nikki Six, the Motley Crue bassist, and he's just great. He's a big guy, big imposing guy. He wears the glam rock clothes and the big hair all the time, and they just go for this kind of like that little grey area at the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, with the kind of 70s punk sound / ethic and the kind of glam rock / 70s classic rock as it was changing. It wasn't quite metal yet, but they really like that era and they nail it. They look the part. They even do a cover version of Nelly the Elephant. And, you know, at first I was just a bit bemused by it all. But then recently, since they're coming down, I was on Douban and I was listening to their demos. And I think they could be it could be a good show.
Really? Because I've got to admit, actually...
And that's only the first band.
I haven't been on the Douban and listened to the demos and stuff. I've got to admit, I'm not all that gone on Rustic from what I've seen of them so far. I mean, they supported 24 Hours, I think, didn't they? Is that where we...
They did, and we didn't really catch a lot of the set.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of saw a bit of it. I could see why they won the Global Battle of the Bands thing, because in that you do two or three songs and it's kind of very much on instant impact, and they have a lot of instant impact. You know, they've got crazy dress sense and they're really entertaining on stage. But I wasn't sure how much sort of durability their songs had and stuff. But maybe, like, you know, that's my ignorance. I need to get on Douban and listen to some more. I don't know.
Well, no. Moving on, I mean, you're right in that there's a big leap then from them to the next three bands. The next one being 24 Hours, who've got that excellent debut CD out on Maybe Mars. Again, bring your shekels, because they're all going to be on sale at the table at the gig. And we saw them at Yu Yin Tang. They were just excellent live. But, you know, it was a bit of a sort of a sort of half-assed sort of crowd there, right? Really, there wasn't enough people.
I wasn't half-assed. I had my whistle. I was going crazy.
But yeah, yeah, we were. But I mean,
may have given them the impression that I'm a stalker. But
yeah, but they are polished. They are excellent performers. The songs are great. And if Mal's going to be as busy as I think it is, that they should be great. Dan Shapiro, writing in City Weekend, has personally recommended The Gar. And of course, headlining
PK14, the elder statesman of underground Chinese rock. Who, actually, it's funny because you talk about them as being one of the marquee bands for maybe Mars with Cars at Cars, and which they are, of course. But I feel like it's only recently, like even in the last sort of 6 months or so, where they've really started to kind of get the sort of attention that they deserve almost in some ways. Do you know what I mean?
Which is funny because the first CD, Whoever, Shay,
yeah.
It's just unbelievably good.
It's outstanding, yeah.
It's just so good. I mean, it's good enough for them to have the attention off that CD, but I mean, you've got to take into account it's the China scene, and when that came out, you know, it's not that much bigger now, but you know, that it's not like Lady Gaga, you know, struts around in a video, does one single with a bit of techno in it, and then like everyone's a buzz, right? You got to, you know, work a bit harder at it here.
Right.
from so Gaga or Gaga? I went for the American pronunciation. I thought I'd say Gaga.
I don't know. You've lost me.
Youth talk, yeah. When I was on Yoku the other day during an English language class at my weekend job, and the
responsible
students,
teacher Andy,
yeah,
Best.
The students were all saying we like Lady Gaga and we love her video for it was called Bad Romance. So we watched it in the class, and it, you know, for the next 3 hours, I had to, like, you know, do meditation therapy.
Is that good?
Yeah, it was. Right. It was. Yeah.
Well,
anyway,
yeah. But yeah. So, but yeah, PK14. You know, they are just one of the best bands in China. You know, sometimes I forget about it a bit, and you know, they've been around so long, and you kind of think, oh, I've seen PK14 before, and all that stuff. But you know, there's such a great band when you see them live. I mean, they just really go for it, and they're such great performers. You can't see them too many times, I don't think.
Yeah, and go back and listen to the CDs. Prepare for this gig. Study up. Look at the Chinese lyrics. Try and learn them. Listen to She 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 Ho She 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 again. I mean, they're playing Mao. I mean, the sound's going to be great. It's going to be packed. And you should be, you know, studying up on this gig to get maximum enjoyment. It sounds like I'm going towards the Mao thing now. But
right, but in the other corner, we have
Zuyo. Now, I don't know much about them, and I've never seen them, so can you give us a brief intro on that band?
Not really, because I don't know too much about it, and I've never seen them either. For some reason, I think they've always been up against other gigs, like, and I've never seen them either. But, I mean, this is Helen Fung's other band, as it were.
They're electronic, right? Mainly?
Yes. we go away for a few months and then come back and there's nothing. We know nothing about the Chinese underground music scene suddenly.
Yeah. So anyway, the Mushrooms are playing.
I don't know about anything about them either. No.
I posted up a video on the blog. Don't let me forget about the rustic photo after this, by the way.
Oh yeah.
I posted up a video on the blog. Some videos have come out now. Pretty appalling quality. The sound's good, but the picture's all over the place. Of the New Year's Eve Mushrooms show, the one that got briefly shut down that we talked about. And I posted up the video of, you know, why him? Why do you love him? Ni Wei Shen Rai Ta. And, Wei Shen Ni Ai Ta. And it's great because you can hear everyone singing along. He's putting the mic in. You can get the feeling of how much people love this band from watching it. So watch it. Because as much as the Mao's one's going to be good, and these are great bands and you can check them out, what the Mushrooms bring to Yuyantang is it'll be absolutely packed with locals,
right?
With Shanghainese young locals who are like, yeah, sure, PK14, these bands are good, but we love the Mushrooms, and we go to every gig and we sing and we almost burst into tears at points, and it's just like a real Shanghai experience, and it's always going to be a sort of a rowdy, enjoyable gig. So that one's got like the guarantee on it, you know. Whereas Mao's going to be full, but you know, I don't know if everyone's going to be too into it. There's going to be a lot of sort of like wandering around in confusion at the fact that there's no quality cocktails or martinis at the bar, you know. They're going to be wandering around like they're lost in the desert. They're going to need a bit of a slap to come around, maybe an air kiss or two to bring them back into the show, right? So, I mean, you know, you don't know. You just don't know, do you?
No. No, quite.
Anyway, the photo.
Do you want to talk about the rustic photo now?
I put a photo up with my post about what we were just talking about.
It's one of the best photos ever taken.
Yeah, go and look. I mean, it's rustic when they're in Hong Kong for Global Battle of the Bands. They're on the street. They're walking around. They've got the photographer, whose name is Lee Fun, L-E-E-F-U-N, on Douban. And he's taking shots. There's a whole gallery of them walking around Hong Kong. And they go by a bar called Showbiz Bar. And it's a hostess bar. And there's three hostesses sitting outside. There's obviously, there would have been the mama-san, as they're called over here, on the door, the female brothel boss. And they're just sort of walking by, right? But they're rustic. They're dressed like rustic. The singer guitarist is wearing an all in a sort of all of one piece, kind of like not one piece, but like color coordinated sort of red suede jacket and red jeans and sunglasses and his hair up. And Ricky Six in the side of the picture's got his snakeskin imprint sort of pants and his big hair. And what's happening is the photographer is taking a photo of them in front of the place. And the mama-san is rushing out with her hands up in the no photo pose as the singer in the red suit and shades is half turned to the camera with a surprised look on his face. And the three girls are like either covering their face or trying to lean out desperately in this. And it's just so rustic. It's just so them. It's so 70s glam rock. I don't know. Words can't explain it. Get on my blog now and open that post.
Having said that, I should go on Douban and sort of listen to more of their songs. I mean, you could do a lot worse than just look at that photo. I think that probably tells you all you need to know about Rustic.
Yeah. I mean, it's just if anyone ever took a photo that summed up the band's attitude and style and their kind of whole thing in a sort of a non-set-up photo, I mean, that has to be it. I mean, it's not that they sing about hostess bars or anything, but the look of the singer, the shot. I mean, just check it out. Go on the blog and look at that. That's a classic China music scene photo, which is unique to, you know, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Beijing, their scenes and their people. It's just unbelievable. You couldn't have, like, all the record labels and money in New York, LA and London, you know, would struggle to set up an album cover. That should be there. That's got to be their album cover, that photo. I'm going to write to
petition
them personally.
Petition them.
I'm going to petition them. Now, we've got 3 or 4 minutes here. So I think something's happening on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, I wouldn't be recommending this out. I mean, I post now and again about the student death metal scene and some metal bands. Of course, Fearless are my favourite. And there are some more accomplished, you know, more mature bands like Chaos Mind.
Right, like of course. Hell United.
Hell United. We have collective. Covered this and I'm sure you've seen a couple of the videos. But Screaming Saviour is the name of the band and the night on Saturday at Yuyantang. But the reason I'm kind of excited about this is because my very first post on this whole aspect of the scene was when I went to this Saturday afternoon gig, when it was literally like about 50 sort of Yangpu metal scene student fans and me. And I just went out of curiosity and it was amazing. And I made a lot of new friends there. I got my first set of Douban friends from going to the gig. And we had great talks about metal. And one of the bands from Suzhou called Morshe, which is kind of like the odd characters. It just basically means like evil and like a creative way of saying evil. And they were just amazing. First of all, they were exactly like the sort of the Shanghai or China melodic death metal scene bands. They had the gothic sounding keyboard. They had the real gurgling sounds and then the really melodic riffing on the guitars. And they were just amazing. And since then, I haven't seen them again. They're based in Suzhou and they're back and they're playing on Saturday night. And, you know, if you know, just go and watch them because you know, death upon you if you like false metal.
There you go.
That's all I'm gonna say. Morshe Saturday night. They are just, you know, amazing.
Brilliant.
Sunday night.
Sunday night, this is Rezo 10. So Rezo being the experimental nights that that Mai from Muscle Snug puts on. And as it's the 10th one, or I don't know, maybe it's not because it's particularly the 10th one, but he's got quite a special lineup, I reckon, for this one. I often sort of recommend these nights, and I really like them. It's kind of experimental music rather than the kind of out-and-out noise nights that Torture and Nurse put on, the Noise Shanghai things. Hmm. But yeah, this one should be a good one. There's Han Han from Duckfight Goose and Love Rock Sea is playing. San San is playing as well from Bougie and Muscle Snug as we mentioned already. Mai will be there himself, and there's also Sunye, who has his own solo stuff and is in Bougie.
Veteran of many bands.
Yeah, and used to be in a whole load of other bands like the Fucking Rolls and Sonnet and stuff. So they're all, you know, these are four fantastic, really creative local musicians, and they're going to be doing you know, some slightly more experimental and interesting stuff. But if you've never been to a Rezzo night before, I seem to say this every time when there's a Rezzo night, but this one particularly, if you've never been to a Rezzo night before,
this
come on down
is the one.
And you know, and just check it out. Because usually it's me, Han Han, Mai, and like three other people. So it'd be nice to see some more people down there.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, you know, listeners, bloggers, everyone, I don't really know if you know what we look like or care. You know, but I mean, if you come to Union Tang for a gig and you see us, right, you know, say hello, for fuck's sake. I mean, that's the whole point of these, of rock and indie community, these kind of gigs, right, you bastards. You're supposed to, like, you know, we're all supposed to, like, you know, hook up, have a good time, talk about music, eat sort of, well, for me, tofu off the barbecue at the back of Union Tang in between bands, you know, and have a good time, because that's what this is all about. So, you know, if you see us, I guess on the Friday Dilemma thing, it's a case of spot which one we went to, right?
Right.
Place your bets now and we'll tell you next week. Okay, so
well, you say that, you know, that it's all about the community and it's all about eating, you know, tofu and stuff, but for me it's more about, you know, rock and roll is more about sex and drugs and money, or what is it? I've forgotten it now.
Money and sex. Yeah, you see, yeah, okay, the game's up, the facade's down. As you said, we're currently surrounded by both male and female prostitutes. We don't discriminate. Drugs all over the table, high bows, inflatable high bows, large inflatable high bows of orifices.
Doing things they really probably shouldn't be doing.
That's right. There's drugs everywhere. There's champagne on ice. There's
really is better city, better life in here.
And over on my computer producing my latest symbol is Timberland. And
Timberland and Expendable.
That's right. And you know, that's what it's all about. So what's this song, Jake?
Well, I can't remember the name, obviously, as I've just demonstrated by messing it up.
Yeah.
But the band is Rustic and the song is
Rock and Roll for Money and Sex. Bye bye.
Bye.
二，严格遵守作息时间，早上6点起床做早饭，晚上11:30以后睡觉，严禁迟到、早退和降低服务车。Don't